today's news. Hello, welcome to Old News, the programme and podcast which looks at news stories of the day through the papers of yesterday. This week, tram horses. Not just the horse trams, but the tram horses themselves. Inspired by the recent news that a new foal for the horse trams is going to be called Mona. Good name. Sure, we've had a Mona before. But then again, we've had most of the horse names before. Hopefully, Mona has a long and happy life. Working and retired. So, looking back into the papers, fair amount, as it seems. And the horses, well, maybe didn't have the fairly much life of Riley they have today. Mona's Herald, Tuesday, July the 23rd, 1946. A tram horse bolts, we read. A tram horse bolted from the Jubilee clock on Thursday evening as it was changing round to make the return journey to Derby Castle. Startled by a cheering passenger in a passing car, the horse broke away from the driver and dashed along the promenade. He kept in the middle of the left-hand track, however, force of habit, I would imagine, and was eventually stopped opposite the Crescent Cinema by Mr. W.J.H. Dawson of 112 Bucks Road, who rode up beside the horse on a bicycle and grabbed the reins. He's a brave lad, or maybe he was a trammer, who knows? In the Examiner, Friday, August the 21st, 1950, we read, "The tram horses have a gentleman's life." Conclusion of interested visitors. Visitors who had inquired into the treatment of the Douglas Corporation tram horses had come to the conclusion they were having a gentleman's life. If a horse can have a gentleman's life. This was stated at the annual meeting of the Isle of Man Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, held in the Timwell Committee Rooms on Saturday under the chairmanship of Mr. J. R. Drinkwater, MBE, JPCP. The annual report stated that complaints occasionally made by some visitors regarding the treatment of the tram horses had been individually answered by the Secretary, Mr. George Shaw, BA, who had pointed out in each case the efforts made by the Douglas Corporation to ensure that the track should be as suitable as possible for the horses, the ease with which the cars were pulled even when fully loaded, the fact that the animals were under the constant supervision of the government veterinary surgeon as well as the society's inspector, and finally the care and attention lavished on the horses. The committee again wished to express their thanks to and appreciation of the good work by Mr. Wolsey, Mr. Ward, and all those on the staff of the Douglas Tramway System, added the report. Members asked why it was necessary for injured animals to be brought to Douglas for slaughtering instead of being killed on the spot, and on Mr. Drinkwater's suggestion, it was agreed that the matter should be referred to the Executive Committee for whatever action was considered appropriate. Can you imagine a horse tram being killed on the spot? I think it has happened once or twice, but yes, I don't really think it's something that people would want. In the Examiner, Friday, July the 16th, 1954, tram horse for TV. A Douglas tram horse, the driver, and a replica of the tram are likely to feature in a television programme to be broadcast from Radio Olympia in London near the end of August. Oh, the excitement. The programme is to give a representation of seaside resorts, and the Isle of Man Tourist Board has accepted an invitation to provide an exhibit. The resorts will be represented by floats, which will be paraded around the arena, and the Tourist Board has struck the idea of featuring a horse tram to represent the island. I must have thought long and hard about that. They suggest that the horse should be drawn from the corporation stud and should be one well-known and popular with the visitors. The corporation has agreed to release a horse and driver to travel to London for the programme. Presumably not together. In the Mona's Herald, Tuesday, September the 20th, 1955, we read, "Tram horses not sold for slaughter." I think back in the day, you know, once they'd finished their working life, this was pretty much the fate of the horse. Happily now, of course, they have a lovely time out of the home at rest of old horses at the bottom of Richmond Hill, where they live out a very happy life and are probably more popular than ever. Not always the case. Anyway, the article in the Mona's Herald, as I say, September the 20th of 1955, reads that the Douglas Town Council do everything within their power to ensure that tram horses, when they are sold by the corporation, are not slaughtered. This assurance was given by Councillor W.B. Kinnean at the monthly meeting of the council following a query from Councillor Stanley Kane. Councillor Kane said that he saw a report from the Tramways Committee that, on the advice of the veterinary surgeon, some of the tram horses were to be disposed of, and he hoped they would not be sold for slaughter, or where they would be doing rather heavy work. Councillor J. A. Kane stated the council had some time ago agreed that no tram horse should be sold for slaughter. Agreeing that that was so, Councillor Kinnean, chairman of the Tramways Committee, said that whenever tram horses were sold, it was subject to the condition they should not be slaughtered by the buyer for human consumption. If the horses were resold, it was outside the control of the committee, but he was considering whether some clause could be inserted in the agreement for control beyond the first buyer. In the Examiner of October the 12th, 1956, tram horses treatment. A reference to the tram horse driver who gave the recent exclusive interview to the Examiner in which the driver voiced the opinion that the horses were being overworked was made by Councillor R.C. Stephen, chairman of the Tramways Committee, at a meeting of Douglas Town Council on Wednesday. Councillor Stephen said that he wanted to make the opportunity to reply to statements made publicly recently regarding allegations the tram horses were overworked. The veterinary surgeon had reported that none of the horses were ill through overwork. "We do not know who made the report," said Councillor Stephen, "but we learn it was a driver. Perhaps it is as well that we do not know, because employees of the tramways are not supposed to discuss their employment or what goes on during it." Days before whistleblowing, it would seem. Reference was made, he continued, to the work the horses do at night. The horses that were on at night were given breaks and worked in the cool of the evening and got ample resting time. I think it's always been a debate, but I always think back to the days when such horses as the tram horses, big shire horses, Clydesdales and the like, would have been working in the fields, where they would have been pulling ploughs through heavy clay soil a lot of the time, a lot heavier and harder to move than once a horse tram gets moving. Even when it's fully loaded, it rolls along on the rails very happily. The work is only really required to get the thing moving in the first place. And back in the day, they would have been working, what, 9, 10, 11, 12 hours in the field, perhaps? Let me know if you know. Howard Kane at manxradio.com. Kane with an E, of course. Friday, May the 18th, 1956, in the Examiner. Tram horse christening tomorrow. This is under the Examiner Young Folks League. Dear nephews and nieces, Saturday trip. To the scores of leaguers who sent in their suggestions for the naming of 13 new tram horses, I want to say thank you on behalf of Mr. Woolsey and myself. Every member who entered has been invited to the christening ceremony tomorrow morning. Two specially decorated horses and trams will take the lucky leaguers from Victoria Pier to the Corporation Stables at Derby Castle. At the stables, the horses will be formally christened with the names the Young Folks League has given them by members of the league. Then Mr. Sam Cayley, the driver, who appeared on TV's What's My Line, will tell you of his experiences. The Examiner photographer will also be present. Don't forget your invitation card for those of you who entered the competition. The following names were chosen from the 110 suggested. Stand by, the names were Adam, Bernard, Douglas, Eamon, Gilbert, Hugh, June, Monty, Rupert, Philip, Ramsey, Steve and Stanley. In view of the many names offered, it is not surprising, but very commendable, that only two leaguers had their complete lists among the names adopted. They were 8-year-old Margaret Corkill of 43 Williston Crescent Douglas and Leslie Irving, who is 11, of Craigmore Crosby. Both have received prizes. Margaret chose Bernard after Bernard Braden, Philip, which means lover of horses, and Stanley after the Stanleys of Man. Leslie's choice was Eamon and Gilbert after Eamon Andrews and Gilbert Harding, and Bernard again after Mr. Braden. Five members suggested two of the names chosen. They were Alan Comish, 162 Roxbury Street in Liverpool, Monty and Dewan, Vivian Sale of Rose Cottage, Southgate, Laxey, Monty and Adam, Barbara Kane, Balaneedon Balaf, Douglas and Ramsey, and Gordon Barnes, 12, Norwood Drive, Douglas, who chose Douglas and Ramsey. Then in the Examiner of just a short time later, May the 25th, 1956, children christened tram horses. When curly-haired Alan Comish, aged 8, went back to school in Liverpool, we've just heard about him, haven't we, this week, he had a fine tale to tell his friends. Alan was one of the many members of the Examiner Young Folks League invited to share in the christening of the 13 new tram horses belonging to Douglas Corporation last Saturday. Like several other leaguers in England, it seemed that Alan would be unable to accept the invitation. But, by a happy coincidence, writes Uncle Tim, not his real uncle, just Uncle Tim from the paper, his mother and father had previously arranged to spend Whit weekend on the Isle of Man, so Alan, 162 Roxbury Street, yes, we know, was able to attend the christening after all. And because he had come such a long way to take part, the tramway staff gave Alan a small, polished metal horseshoe, decorated with a ribbon, as a souvenir. I wonder if he's still got it. Another leaguer who was given a shiny horseshoe was Maureen Corkle, 43, Williston Crescent Douglas. Well, she didn't come that far. Maureen was one of the winners in the horse naming competition run by the Young Folks League, and Saturday was her 9th birthday. Fair enough, it was her birthday. The children were driven along the promenade to Derby Castle in specially decorated trams drawn by Prince and Betty, driven by Mr. Sam Cayley and Mr. Thomas Walker. At the stables, the christening was conducted by Mr. C.F. Woolsey, the transport manager, and performed by leaguers and Councillor R.C. Stephen, chairman of the Tramways Committee. Afterwards, the children went to the gardens at Strathallan Crescent to hear Mr. Cayley, who recently appeared on television in What's My Line, talk about the horse trams. A bottle of pop each, good Lord, photographs and a return trip along the promenade, and the morning's programme was over. It was an event thoroughly enjoyed by all the children, parents, friends and tramway staff who were there. The only disappointment? That many leaguers were unable to attend the ceremony because of the difficulty of getting into Douglas from the north on time. Get up earlier. Finally, tram horses go off the rails, we read in the Times, Friday, October the 7th, 1960. Latest additions to the Isle of Man Home of Rest for Old Horses are 8 Douglas Corporation tram horses who were retired yesterday. None were sold with the prospect of further work or even light work. Quite right, too. They should enjoy a good retirement. They all go into honourable retirement at the home at Richmond Hill. They were all known to visitors, particularly Billy, a black and white skewball, who was a great favourite. They joined 20 other tram horses, which have been retired at the home, making a total of 52 horses altogether in residence there. The maintenance of the horses is carried out entirely at the expense of the home from their own funds. An agreement has been made by the corporation, which prevents any horses being sold to dealers, the object being to ensure none of them found their way to the continental slaughterhouses, but some have in the past been sold to farmers for light work under the supervision of the Home of Rest. In the case of the 8 horses retired this week, it was decided none of them should be sold. An official of the corporation said they have worked well on the trams and the committee decided they should all be retired. Mr. M. Royston, chairman of the Home of Rest, said many visitors took pleasure in the fact that most of the horses went to the home after they had finished service with the trams. They felt they were being rewarded for good service. Yes, I think that's a fair thing to say. You've worked hard, just like a human. Have a bit of retirement and an easy life at the end. Seems fair deal to me. Horse trams? Or horses, more specifically, for the horse trams. Never that far from the news, it seems. I hope Mona goes on to have a very happy life, successful career on the trams, and then happy retirement at the Home of Rest. Something we all look forward to, perhaps. Whichever way you look at it, it's old news. Until next week, cheerio. You're gonna be yesterday's news.